recording and we have a quorum.
Okay, well, I'll go ahead and call the meeting to order. And Shay, would you please do a roll call for us?
Yes, sir. Michael Dobb?
Turn it off.
Here.
Thank you. Shaggy? Brian Kirkland?
I saw Jaggy raised his hand, so he's here.
Thank you. Thank you, Jaggy. I'm on the other screen. Jeffrey Latham?
I'm here.
Thank you, sir. Doug Lang?
Here.
Thank you, sir. David Byers?
Here.
Thank you, sir. Kim Romer?
I'm here.
Thank you, sir. Lev Gornick? J.R. Sloan?
Here.
Thank you, sir. Representative Nguyen? Senator Rick Gray? Richard Stebnick?
Rebecca Pereira here for Richard Stebnick.
Thank you so much. Mr. Chairman, we have a quorum.
All right, thank you, Shay. I'd like to start off by just reminding folks that this is a public meeting and we follow those rules. If anyone has a comment, should be a link in the agenda to be able to submit that and we will follow up on it. Eddie, we forgot you.
That's all right.
Sorry about that, sir. Mr. Eddie Cook.
Thank you. Okay. So thank you everyone for coming together on short notice for this emergency session on a very important topic relative to the economic recovery of the state. So with that, we'll go ahead and step into our agenda and I'll hand it off. Jeff or Chuck, who am I handing this off to? Sudi?
Chairman, it's me. Yes.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, my name is Sudi Saed. I'm an engagement manager with the Department of Administration. I'm joined here by members of the Department of Economic Security Project team. I will let the individuals introduce themselves, after which I will give a brief overview of this project.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, members. My name is Mark Darmer. I'm the Chief Information Officer for the Department of Economic Security.
Mark, is there anyone else who's introducing themselves?
I do not believe so, Sudi. We can go ahead and continue. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, on May 13th, 2021, the Governor's Office and DES announced the Back to Work program to help individuals transition from unemployment to a new job. Arizona will offer a Back to Work bonus for eligible workers with a goal of getting as many citizens as possible to rejoin the workforce by September 6, 2021. The Department of Economic Security team has joined us today to request approval to develop the Back to Work solution. At this time, I'll turn this over to DES's team to present additional information regarding this pitch and answer any questions you may have.
Thank you, Sudi. Mr. Chair, members, the department conducted a brief kind of scope of work and we went through several demonstrations with three different potential vendors for the system. The system is needed as there's no current system within the agency that would be able to handle the eligibility criteria and payment requirements associated with the Back to Work program. We went through demonstrations with three separate vendors. We have selected a vendor which is able to not only meet the business requirements of the agency and the program, but is also able to meet the very brief timeline that we have to be able to stand the application up. The application needs to have a go live date of no later than July 10th, as that is when eligible applicants should be able to apply for the return to work benefit. And with that, I will open it up to questions from any of the members, should you have any.
Mark, can you talk a little bit about the actual system that you're going to be implementing?
Certainly, Mr. Lang. We went through a demonstration. The vendor that is leading the pack, if you will, has a web-based software as a solution service that will provide the eligibility rules engine and will also be available on a mobile platform as well. It is not in a Salesforce platform, but will be developed in the vendor's software as a solution platform. We anticipate that the vendor will have that live on July 10th as needed. We'll have a configurable rules engine associated with the application, and DES will be able to either maintain that or work collectively with the vendor to be able to make any modifications should eligibility for the program change. The system will be integrated with a reporting dashboard as well. So the agency will be able to see who has applied for the program, what the status of their application is. It will have an interactive client notification system whereby we will be able to either email or potentially text applicants of the status of their application. And then we'll also be able to do dashboard reporting based upon where the applicant is located, county, zip code, whatever the case may be. We will also be able to identify what type of employment that individual was able to obtain based upon the industry that they are going into. So it's a very robust system. It is, as I indicated, a software as a service solution. The agency did not feel that with such a short time frame for the program to be open and available, that it really was in the department's best interest to develop this and have it be an in-house application. And so the vendor will be developing it and maintaining it for the agency.
Hey, Mark. Just a couple questions. So one is, as we're talking about the solution meeting the requirements of DES, couple of things, like any other places where this application is deployed? Are we talking about configurability or customization? And then I think you've alluded also to kind of the life expectancy of the application. Can you touch on those 3 points?
Certainly, Mr. Chair. Thank you. The system is based off of an existing application that the vendor has. It is not currently configured to the eligibility criteria for the return to work program. However, the vendor indicates that they will be able to manage the configuration changes that are needed to their existing application and be able to deploy those by July 10th. The short time frame of the program, we do not anticipate the program running any further than the end of this calendar year. Eligibility for the program is set to end in mid-November. So it is a very short life program and may end prior to that, depending upon the number of applicants that apply and are eligible based on the funding available.
Mark, one more thing. In terms of where we are in the procurement process, are we at a point where we can actually talk about who the vendor is, the solution?
Mr. Chair, I do not believe that the task order has been finalized yet. I can say that it is a nationally known vendor that has extensive experience in similar types of programs, not just within Arizona, but across the U.S.
Okay, thank you.
Hey, JR, this is Eddie. I think in the pitch, it said Accenture was the selected vendor.
Okay.
I'm looking at section 2.3.
Okay. And all right. David, you had your hand up.
Yeah, I know this is an emergency deal, so but can you walk us through the numbers a little bit? You kind of went by them in the slides. Costs seem pretty high to me for like a month's work. Yeah, so you've got $735 for staff to configure it, I take it. But $1 million in licensing fees? That seems pretty extraordinary.
Mr. Chair, Mr. Byers, the costs there are not only for the development, but also for the license fees for the period of time. I believe the license fees are approximately $97,000 a month based upon the duration of the program. And then the development cost with the contractor staff that will be developing it, they are a little bit on the higher side. They are competitive to the other two vendors who were included in the demonstrations. But given the extremely tight time frame that the vendor has to be able to stand the system up on July 10th, they likely will not be able to begin work until first part of next week. And so they are anticipating a little bit higher than average cost associated with that very short time frame to bring to bear the resources that they need to get that accomplished.
Let me understand this again. There's two numbers here, 735 for professional outside services. So I assume that's the contractor. That's a month's worth of work to set this up. Month. And then you've got $1 million in licensing and maintenance fees. So if it was running $100,000 a month, you got July, August, September, October, that's 5 months. So get me to the $1 million. Does this run past? I thought you said it ended in November.
The program participants can apply up through November. The system will be live through at least December of this year. So it will be for approximately 5-6 months that we will have a license fee associated with the application.
So if the license fee is about $100,000 a month, how does it get to $1 million?
There's also maintenance costs associated with that. The license fee, I believe, is $97,000, and there's associated maintenance fees included in that. So it is slightly more than $97,000 a month. And there's also the cost for some of their staff to be available to train and assist our staff in getting up to speed on the application. That's included in the P&O service as well.
Very big cost. So how many applicants are we going to be able to handle? It's like a bonus of 2,000 or 1,000 full or part-time. So what's the budget on this that you're going to give out?
Mr. Chair, Mr. Byers, I believe if I recall correctly, and I apologize, I don't have the number in front of me, but I believe that at this point, there's been approximately $300 million identified for the program. We currently have approximately 220,000 UI recipients that are potentially eligible for the bonus. So it will be a very high volume program over the next few months.
And Mark, I'm sorry, how much of the, is the scope really focused on just the bonuses, or is the scope of the return to work program that this system supports broader than the bonuses? Like there were the other elements of, if I recall, education and childcare. Is that part of the system as well?
Mr. Chair, it is not part of this existing system. We are looking at what other avenues we may need to encompass for those other services that you mentioned, the childcare and other services. We may end up including those into this application, but at this point in time, this application is merely for the return to work bonus program.
Okay, thank you.
And this is Dave again. Can I just ask, what kind of documentation will the applicants have to provide for this?
Mr. Chair, Mr. Byers, the applicants will need to provide information on the employer. They will also need to provide pay stubs with information about how many hours they work. They are required to qualify for the bonus to work a minimum of 320 hours over, I believe, a 3 or 6 month period. So they will have to provide copies of those timesheets and pay stubs in order to qualify for the program. They will also have to have been on unemployment during the specified period for the program.
So really, we won't see the applications in July then, if I'm hearing you right. You have to work enough hours to get that documentation. That'll take a few months to get that then to be able to apply.
Mr. Chair, Mr. Byers, the applicants are eligible starting July, and so they may have qualifying hours from the time that the program was announced to July 10th that may qualify them. But yes, we may not see completed applications until after July 10th, possibly into August. However, the applicant will have the ability to go online into the application, apply for the return to work bonus, upload any documentation that they currently have, pay stubs indicating number of hours worked, and then they would be able to return to the application and upload additional pay stubs once they either work or have the supporting documentation that they need to complete their application. So the application does need to be available on July 10th for individuals to be able to apply, but certainly the eligibility criteria would prevent them from getting the bonus until such time as they complete all of the required documentation, and we have determined their eligibility based on the number of hours that they've worked.
Yeah, so you're looking at a minimum of 320 hours, eight 40-hour weeks beyond that July launch date would be the first qualifying event?
So Mr. Chair, potentially, yes. It could be 8 weeks. It could be less, depending upon the hours that they've been able to work.
If they work more hours, okay. Thanks. Correct. I'm sorry. Dave, did you have something more?
Yeah, I know it's probably not your area, Mark, but in the past when we put programs like this together, it's whenever there's money, there's potential of a lot of fraud. Does a DES worker then have to take the documentation and confirm with an employer?
Mr. Chair, Mr. Byers, the department is enacting a couple of security components to the system at Go Live. One will be an integration with ID.me, which verifies an individual's identity. That program has proved extremely successful in the unemployment insurance program in reducing fraud. So that will be at Go Live. And yes, Mr. Byers, once the individual submits their timesheets, those will be reviewed by staff to ensure that the pay stubs are true and accurate, and that we will be able to contact an employer for any verification that may be needed.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, I got a question.
Go ahead, Eddie.
All right. So this is kind of my take on this, just excluding the policy that the governor's office and your office has done. But it looks like if the state spends $1.7 million, the state is going to have access of about $300 million of federal dollars for this program. Is that what I'm hearing here?
Mr. Chair, Mr. Cook, yes, that is correct.
Okay.
And the funds that would be expended to develop and implement the solution would come from that same pot of money.
Yep. So it sounds like our return on $1.7 million gets us over $300 million. For our state.
Mr. Chair, Mr. Cook, yes, sir, that is correct.
Thank you.
Any other questions from the committee?
Hey, this is Jaggi. One of my question is, after using this, you know, platform, is this a one time or can we use it for different purposes later period of the, you know, any other project?
Mr. Chair, member, the program would be available to the agency to use for other program eligibility determination if needed. It would require some modification to the system, but yes, it would be available to be used for other things should the department have a need.
Thank you.
But to be clear, Mark, the current plan is to run, you know, you'll stand the platform up, you'll run it through that November, December, maybe into January timeframe, and then once this program is complete and there's no ongoing need, and what you've asked for here would be stand it up, run it, shut it down when the program is over.
Mr. Chair, yes, that is correct.
Okay. All right. Last call. Any more questions? All right, Sudhi, back to you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Assets recommending that the pitch be approved with three conditions. Condition one, should development costs exceed the approved estimates by 10% or more, or should there be significant changes to the proposed technology, scope of work, or implementation schedule, the agency must amend the pitch to reflect the changes and submit to ADOA Asset and ITAC if required for review and approval prior to further expenditure of funds. Condition two, monthly reporting on the project status is due to ADOA Asset no later than the 15th of the month following the start of the project. Failure to comply with the timely project status reporting will affect the overall project health. The first status report for the project is due on July 15th, 2021. Condition three, prior to moving any state data into the vendor-hosted environment and or spending of funds, the agency must work with the Department of Administration Security to ensure the vendor successfully completes the ASRAMP and is ASRAMP authorized to access, transmit, process, or store state data.
All right, thanks, Sudhi. That raises a question for me, Mark. Is this solution being stood up in DES's, an existing DES data center or cloud environment, or is this going into a vendor-hosted environment?
Mr. Chair, it would be going into a vendor-hosted environment, and that environment is FedRAMP certified.
Okay. All right, very good. Any other questions on the conditions? David?
Yeah, you know, I know these are standard conditions, but obviously it's kind of an emergency situation with 1 month to stand it up. But I noticed in the budget there was like an $84,000 contingency fee. So I'm assuming they'd have to expend that plus 10% more, $84,900. So in other words, I don't think I suspect with all this money, they're not going to need to spend more than 10%. But we wouldn't want to delay it if they did. But is the contingency part of the overall budget, so they'd have to spend that in addition to 10% to have to come back?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, within this page, that it's how it is presented, Mr. Byer, you're correct.
It looks like there's plenty of wiggle room here on the budget not to become a delay. So
I'm right. You did have to correct. Go another 178,000.
Yeah. What about the Mark? What about the deal about the data? Is that any problem for you to qualify for that?
I'm sorry, Mr. Chair, Mr. Byers, you broke up there for a second for me. Could you repeat the question?
Yeah, I think it's the second or third contingency requiring ASSET to review the security of the data. Will that be any problem meeting that requirement within this month timeframe?
Mr. Chair, Mr. Byers, I do not believe so. The vendor, as Mr. Cook pointed out, Accenture, is a fairly well-known national vendor. Their environment is FedRAMP certified, which I think will assist in alleviating some of the normal back and forth that we would go through with a vendor. So I do not foresee any delays in that, but I will certainly defer to Mr. Sloan and Mr. Brown with any follow-up on that.
Yeah, so Dave, I would say while FedRAMP certification is not, it's not a rubber stamp approval, it's a very strong indicator. If a vendor has gone through the FedRAMP requirements, it is highly likely that they have all of the processes, procedures, and controls in place to satisfy the state's requirements as well.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Mr. Byers, I can tell you that we're well into our security review process and very close to the end of it, and we don't see any foreseeable hiccups, and we have dealt with this vendor and this specific application in the past.
Okay, thanks.
Rebecca.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I was just going to request if you would send a copy of that status report when it's received in July.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, absolutely. We'll make sure it gets forwarded to you.
Okay, so we have the conditions. I didn't hear any modifications. Any further questions? If not, then I will entertain a motion with regard to the project.
Motion to approve.
Thank you, Doug. Do we have a second?
Mr. Chairman, I second it.
Thank you, Tim. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Any opposed? All right. That's a unanimous vote. Thank you, members. Thank you all for your time today, and we'll talk to you next week for our regularly scheduled item. And I assume this won't be on there because they probably can't exceed their budget within a week. But we'll see. All right. Hey, thanks, everybody. Appreciate your time and the effort and being here. So have a great day.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, members.